Will you pray with me, please? May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
I apologize in advance for not being what's called a manuscript preacher. What you've been given are basically points that I want to make and help you remember, but the last time I tried to read a sermon, I lost my place. So I hope my outline notes will be enough to help you understand what I'm trying to say. When I learned that one of today's scriptures, when I was a kid in Sunday school, it was through a song. And it went, from glory to glory, he's changing me. Changing me, changing me, his likeness and image made perfect in me, the love of God shown to the world, for he's changing, changing me, from earthly things to the heavenly, his likeness and image made perfect in me, the love of God shown to the world. That song is about change. And today, we reflect upon the change that happened to Jesus when he went up on the mountain and they saw all the, oh, let's do the booth kind of thing. But the more important thing for us to remember is that he changed to get ready for his journey to the cross. The most important scriptures for us to remember today from the Exodus are verse 29. Where it says, Moses' face changed. He shone because he talked with God. And then in the 2 Corinthians, it reminds us that we now are becoming the image of God, of Christ, for people on earth. And that because of that, we are being changed. They call it one degree of glory to another. From glory to glory, because of the Spirit of God that's in us. This Wednesday, in a way, starts that transfiguration or change for you, Ash Wednesday. We reflect upon the things that need to change in our lives, because change is the one constant in life and in death. I mean, think about it. Even a corpse rots, right? So even when you're dead, you're still changing. If anything, change is also the constant in the Christian's life. Once we encounter God in whatever form or whatever shape, we are changing. So in a way, to want things to stay the same is counter being Christian. In fact, it's almost, you could almost say it's anti-Christian. Because when Christ comes into our lives, or when we begin to pray to God, or when we begin to understand the word better, we are being changed. And we will not be the same, like the water and the orange juice. We'll always be different. We'll never be able to be what we used to be. So our job is to fight against this need to get our stability or our sense of security from things not changing. Can only be happy if the pew cushions are always red. Don't let me come into this sanctuary and see blue pew cushions. Blue pew cushions. Oh, no. I got to sit on red ones. Or come in and say, oh, no. Not glory to God. What happened to hymns and spirituals and spiritual songs? Wanting things to always look the same and be the same to give us a sense of security is foolishness. And so for us to be fighting against things changing is all about us and not about wanting to glorify God or be in line with God's will, whatever that may be today, because it may be something different tomorrow. The only constant, the only thing that doesn't change in our lives is God's presence. The assurance that we get from a scripture like Psalm 23, whether we're walking through the valley of the shadow of death or we're in the presence of people who are trying to stab us in the back, God will always be with us. That's where we have to get our security from, that God doesn't change, that God is always present, no matter what's happening in our lives. That is a really deep and hard truth to live. Fortunately, we're going into Lent, right? Where we're supposed to reflect on the things that are hard, the things that we need to try to give up. So I'm asking you to try to give up the need for things to stay the same for Lent. 40 days of not wanting to see everything the same. How about it? Give it, you know, not as easy as giving up chocolate, I admit. But by the time you reach Easter, you will have changed. You will be less dependent on things remaining the same. You will be able to say, as the people you know age and pass away and you don't see them anymore, you'll be able to turn to the new people who are coming and give them your presence and receive a sense of belonging from theirs. We need to develop our hearts that are fully yielded to this truth, that since the only thing that doesn't change is God. Now remember, I said the only thing that doesn't change is God, not our understanding of God. That's always changing. But the only thing that doesn't change is God. We need to be able to give ourselves over to that presence, to that love. The Second Corinthians reminds us that in doing this, we're guided by the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. So it's not being locked down. It's not being controlled by somebody else. It's being freed up. Freed up to take risks. Freed up to fail. Freed up to enjoy little things and big things. To laugh with children. To become a child again ourselves. When we accept that freedom, the Corinthians tells us that then we renounce the shameful things that one hides. There's no more condemnation. There's nothing to be ashamed about. We're open and honest. But by the open statement of the truth, we commend ourselves to the conscience of everyone in the sight of God. You can say, look at me. I'm not perfect, but I'm on my way. Come on the journey with me. It's about being willing to give our hearts and our desires over to that one presence that never changes. Are you willing to give your heart to that presence? I pray that through the 40 days of Lent, that's a question that you'll wrestle with and reflect on. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.